Hi, I'm Chris King, editor of Roofing Magazine, and I'd like to welcome you to the debut episode of Roofing, the Industry's Voice podcast. Like our magazine, this podcast will explore roof system design and installation, cover key industry initiatives, and profile interesting projects. And we'll definitely be looking at some interesting projects in our first episode titled Postcards from Europe, Mission Critical Roofs. We'll look at roofs including a crescent-shaped visual arts center in Essex, England, that casts a golden glow while protecting a mosaic embedded in the floor that dates back to 200 AD. How about a roof on a museum in Athens that protects ancient artifacts dating back to the Greek Bronze Age? And we'll look at a roof in Belgium on an industrial plant that's home to the world's largest newsprint paper machine. And finally, we'll talk about a roof right here in the United States, protecting a facility that processes a billion gallons of water each day. With us today to talk about some of the world's most interesting roofs are Tiffany Kopic of Owens Corning, who's joining us from Fort Worth, Texas, and Mark Klenens from Tessenderlo, Belgium. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Chris. So glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here today to talk about these roofs. And the first thing I want to look at, the subtitle of this episode is Mission Critical Roofs. Can you tell me what that phrase means to you and a little bit about what these roofs have in common?
Sure. Mission critical is really referring to the function of what is going on inside the building. Whatever that function is, really the mission critical portion is that it cannot leak. We cannot have a failure. And so it could be that this building is housing priceless works of art, priceless works of human history or natural history, or it may be performing a function that is critical to just keeping people alive, like a hospital, or keeping an entire community safe and healthy, like a water treatment plant. Regardless of what that function is, we want to make sure that we have a roof that cannot fail from the perspective of fire or moisture or water infiltration, thermal performance. All of those different types of performance attributes and requirements for a roof are critical. And so you'll see a lot of redundancy throughout these types of roofs. So the product that we're going to talk about today is really going to be instrumental in helping perform a lot of those functions.
Great. We'll get into the specific details about these roofs in a moment. But first, let's look at the other side of our title today, which is Postcards from Europe. Can you tell me a little bit about why you're focusing on these roofs in Europe, some history there, and what that might mean for us here in America?
Sure. So the cellular glass product that we're talking about, foam glass, it was actually created here in the United States in the 1930s. If anybody's a history buff, you'll know that that was around the time period that we had some interesting things happening in our history, and we came up with a surplus of glass bottles that we weren't putting beverages in anymore. So we had to figure out what we were going to do with those. Out of that, you saw several types of insulation created, one of those being fiberglass, which everybody is pretty familiar with, and the other was foam glass. From that, it began to evolve throughout here in the U.S., but then it transferred over to Europe and the rest of the world, and they have really taken that product and run with it. To the level of being an artisan is kind of how I would refer to it. They've created interesting systems and assemblies that really capitalize on the function of this product, really worked on eliminating all of the thermal bridging, which I know you'll have Mark tell you about a little bit more. He has some amazing experiences with that type of product and assembly. But in addition to that, the reason why we see a little bit of difference between the assemblies in the US and Europe is that they have these more mission critical type buildings in very tight spaces. They have a smaller rooftop area on a taller building. They are much more interested in a long-term assembly type system. Here in the U.S., we build to last, and that may mean 1 to 200 years, just because our nation is so young compared to other countries in the world. However, when you get over to Europe, and we're talking about 1,000-year-old buildings, we are definitely a little bit more in tune in Europe to these durable buildings and the concept of building to last. So this is one of those type of products that really contributes to those types of assemblies.
Great. Let's look at some of those assemblies in more detail. Let's start with that First Sight Design Center in Essex. I'm told that the roof and the facade of this building was built to achieve a glowing effect. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about that and how that effect was achieved?
Sure, Chris. So this visual art center built in 2008 has a curved floor plan, and the facade and roof are covered with a shiny teku gold metal standing seam sheet. So this teku gold discolors fairly quickly and becomes then a warm golden surface. So it looks like the building is completely covered with gold. Now the metal standing seam sheet in this building are fixed to the foam glass with a very unique system. It's in fact the fixing clips for the standing seam are fixed into our serrated metal plates, and these plates are attached in and to the foam glass. So in the roof, the fixings are not penetrating the insulation. In the walls, only small screws are penetrating the insulation. This means that there are no or almost no thermal breaches. The metal plates and the metal sheet in this building were also installed in different directions. So this gives also this very special aesthetic aspect. Also, the building has a very special shape. The floor plan is curved, as I told already, and the walls are also slope-shaped. And since foam glass is easy to cut and easy to deform by sanding, we can follow all these different shapes and make so a very unique project.
That's very interesting. You talk about the roof and the wall assemblies both having the teku gold sheets and foam glass. Can you tell me what differences there are between the roof and wall assemblies and if there was any difficulty tying those two together?
The difference between the wall and the roof is that in the walls, the serrated plates where the standing seam fixing clips are fixed with a screw through the insulation. In the roof, we don't have this mechanical fixing. So there, the metal plates are glued with the hot bitumen we use to install the foam glass, and they are pushed into the foam glass. Afterwards, it's covered with bituminous membrane.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the roof and wall systems were designed to eliminate thermal bridging?
Sure, Chris. So in fact, the system as such is that the serrated plates are pushed and glued into the foam glass insulation. So that means that the screws for the fixings of the metal standing seam roof are not penetrating the insulation. So this eliminates and reduces the thermal bridging.
Oh, that's fascinating. All right. Well, let's move over from art to industry and look at the Stora Enso facility in Belgium. This is a plant that houses the world's largest newsprint paper machine. Mark, can you tell us about some of the key concerns for roof design in such an industrial environment?
The main concern in such a building was the vapor tightness. So this Stora Enso factory in Belgium was built in 2003, and it was designed by a Finnish architect. The main reason they used foam glass in this 22,000 square meter roof was the vapor tightness of our insulation together with the high compressive strength. Paper mills inside have areas where they have very high vapor production, and these areas are very critical. Not only the vapor tightness was important for the architect, but also the huge load-bearing stress posed by mechanical and electric equipment on the rooftop. Also, the walkability for the maintenance of this equipment was very important. Since foam glass is 100% vapor tight and has a very high compressive strength without any deformation, the architect decided here to use our cellular glass in the roof.
You talked about heavy mechanical electrical equipment on the roof. How was that set up to make sure the roof system could support the load? And were there penetrations that involved connecting that equipment that had to be considered?
No, since foam glass as such has a very high compressive strength, afterwards the architects have the flexibility to do with the roof whatever they want. Even with our lowest product, we already have a very huge, very high compressive strength. So in fact, it doesn't need to be in the design before the application. They can change also the purpose of the roof, in fact. So they can install this high load equipment, they can install green roofs, they can install whatever kind of roofs afterwards.
Wow, that gives people great flexibility. I hadn't considered that. Well, let's look at another example from Europe. We'll travel to Athens and look at the new Acropolis Museum. Mark, I understand you were on site for much of that installation. Can you tell us about the key considerations on the roof system design there?
I was indeed on that job site several times, and this building, this new Acropolis Museum, was built in 2007. The top part of the building looks a little bit like a glass box that's placed to an angle on the rest of the building. The treasures inside the museum provides a historical picture of humans in Athens from prehistoric times to late antiquity. Now, architects Bernard Tschumi from New York and Paris, together with their local associate Michael Fotiadis from Greece, designed a very beautiful building with a glass rooftop finish. So the high compressive strength without deformation and the dimensional stability of the foam glass roof insulation were the most important properties to bear the entire weight of the glass finish. To protect the most famous classic Greek treasures at all time, the architects also opted for additional security and protection. So in addition to the high compressive strength and the dimensional stability of the foam glass, also its watertightness was very important. So in case of a failure of the waterproofing membrane, there is still the extra waterproofing of foam glass to protect the building from water infiltration and damage to the Greek treasures inside.
Can you tell us a little bit about the support system that was used for the non-transparent glass on that assembly and whether there was concerns about the pedestals affecting the roof assembly?
So on the top part, we had the glass roof. On the lower part, we have the stone roof. On this stone roof, we used our traditional compact roof. What we mean with compact roof is that all layers are glued to each other, fully adhered. So that means foam glass is fully adhered to the concrete and the waterproofing membrane is also fully adhered to the foam glass. Now, on top of this, same as with the Stora Enso factory, the architect is free to do whatever he wants. So in this case, he put special supports to bear the heavy stone finishing on that part.
Great. All right. Well, we've seen foam glass used to protect buildings in Europe. Let's look at some buildings here in the U.S. Tiffany, can you tell us a little bit about the iconic insulation of the water treatment plant near Chicago's Navy Pier?
Sure. This is a really fascinating project and actually a great introduction if you're not familiar with foam glass. Just talking about the longevity of the product and how it can really be capitalized. This project was built almost 50 years ago with foam glass, and it also used a liquidified waterproofing system similar to what Mark just described as a compact system. For us, that would just be a fully adhered system, similar to a hot rubberized asphalt assembly, super basic. In the lifespan of that roof, of course, the waterproofing just reached the natural end of its life, and so it needed to be replaced and repaired. And this product got removed, and we were actually able to take a sample of that cellular glass to a third-party tester and have them record the fact that this product is still performing exactly as intended, which is a huge, I think, testament to the reliability of the product. You're still getting the R value, the water protection, the fire resistance, all of those different categories with this product. And likewise, they were able to go back and just do the replacement with a very similar in-kind product and assembly. Now, what's critical about that is that this is a massive water treatment plant. It's about 1 billion gallons of water per day that's supplied to Chicago and the surrounding area. It's mission critical in every sense of the word. You can't shut it down to do a renovation or replace a roof. Certainly, they did do phasing, but they were really relying on some of these products to be a part of that process and help, you know, keep the building up and running. This insulation is also being attacked from both the top and the bottom. So you've got those harsh summers and really harsh winters right next to the water from Chicago. And then on the interior, we have extremely high vapor drive, the potential of caustic materials and chemicals, So you're really attacking it from both sides. And so that's why this was one of the most ideal products. Foam glass is also used for pipe insulation and industrial applications for similar reasons. So this really just shows a lot of the different components and the success story of what foam glass is and why they chose to go back and replace with more foam glass when the time came.
Mark, have you seen similar situations in Europe where a re-roofing application would be done? And how does the foam glass hold up after a lifetime of a roof service?
Sure, we did already many refurbishments of this roof, and mainly it's the waterproofing membrane that has to be redone. That's very typical also for foam glass. You can just peel off the old membrane, eventually add an additional thickness of foam glass just to be sure that you reach the required R value, and then just cover it again with a new waterproofing. So that means that you can keep your foam glass in the roof for its entire lifetime of the building. We also opened older buildings in Europe, and a third-party lab, they measured the foam glass samples. And so they discovered that the values of this insulation of these samples was still the same as in the beginning. So there we can say that we have a lifetime value for our value.
Fascinating. Let's wrap up kind of back to where we started. Let's look again at what ties these diverse, very diverse buildings together. How are these roofs achieve optimum performance?
Yes, Chris, I think in this situation, it's really important just to think about the properties and performance that this product contributes. So we're thinking about where compressive strength leaves off with all of our other roof board type insulations. You know, we hit about a 100 PSI with an extruded polystyrene, which is very commendable. This product starts to pick up and it just exceeds that. And it also does it with no deflection. So if you're looking for a roof that cannot deflect, that can carry those really high loads, this is a product for that. Again, we've talked about the fact that it's not only waterproof, but it's also vapor impermeable and incredibly vapor impermeable. And so if you're looking for a roof that's able to address maybe a natatorium type of a use, or maybe it's a water treatment plant like we discussed, or maybe it has another function that has a very high vapor drive, any of those, this product would actually be able to perform where others are going to be threatened. A lot of our foam plastic insulations, we have to take extra precautions to prevent any of that vapor to be driven into the insulation. So while it can still be built, using foam glass eliminates some of those layers and steps and concerns. From a fire resistance perspective, we're talking about the fact that the product is non-combustible to begin with. So I can't tell you that you put foam glass on the roof and all of a sudden the roof is never going to burn, but I can tell you that this product is not going to contribute to any flame spread, smoke development. It's actually a zero per ASTM E84. It's completely non-combustible per ASTM E136. So any of those things that you're looking for in your roof, this product's going to contribute to that type of an assembly. And finally, I think one of the things that we're remiss about when we talk about all these great performance attributes would be sustainability. It's just glass after all. It's you know, glass and a little bit of extra flavor that we add to it to make it special. But the majority of that glass can be recycled content. So not only are we helping to protect our environment by using less energy, integrating lots of good high quality insulation that's going to perform in the building, we're also not stressing our environment in the beginning to create the product. We're actually using product that's already out there to create the material. So if we have any takeaways today, that's something to look forward to in one of your next projects if you're really interested in one of these types of unique applications.
Well, you can read more and see photos of these iconic buildings in our January, February issue of Roofing Magazine, and online at roofingmagazine.com. But if people want more information about foam glass, Tiffany, where can they go to learn more about this insulation?
Sure. In the United States, feel free to go to owenscorning.com/foamglass, and that will provide you with all of the basic information, data sheets, you know, performance attributes, and a little bit of guide specifications and drawings. We're there to help. You can also contact us at 1-800-GET-PINK. Because we are Owens Corning after all. And you can also reach out to us at gettech@owenscorning.com.
All right, that's great. Well, I'd like to thank you both, Tiffany and Mark, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. And thank you for joining us for the first episode of Roofing, the Industry's Voice podcast. Look for future episodes at roofingmagazine.com, and we'll see you up on the roof.